Okay, good evening, Shkoyach. Once again, welcome to the Musa Shmuz. We've moved it to once a month now. It's wonderful to see such a full house and the Amud Shvui, the Night Kola, that are all thriving. It's a great tribute to our own Rabbi Shabtai, his amazing leadership for our Dr. Belazon Beis Medrash, which should only continue to grow. My heart, like many of yours, has been very, very heavy all week long by the tragedies that have struck the Jewish world at large, universally, globally, that if you have a heart, it has to be broken. If it's not broken, you should question whether you have a heart. And the tragic loss, of course, our community experienced. More specifically, we dedicate our Divrei Torah Lilui Nishmas Daniel Asara Bas Eliezer Yisrael Halevi, who left such an impact and impression not only in our community, obviously her family, but even through her loss and learning about how extraordinary she was to the broader Jewish world. I just left early, it's still going on, the Shloshim of Ephraim Goldberg, another really special individual who so tragically, inexplicably left the world out of nowhere. In Lahavdil, we continue to daven from the bottom of our hearts and to storm the gates of heaven for Rabbi Yosef Elimelech ben Yehudas, Rabbi Mike Stern, who used to live in our community, our beloved Mike Stern, such a special, special individual. Circumstances are so dire, they added a name today, and we daven from the bottom of our hearts for a full and speedy recovery, and of course, Rabbi Baruch Tzvi ben Rivka Batya, our beloved friend. Why do I mention all of these challenges, and these are only a few of which there are more? Pittsburgh, the 11 Kedoshim, the martyrs who died, Akidosh Hashem, our fellow Jews, guilty only of the sin of going to shul, to daven, to connect with their Creator and with the fellow Jews. It weighs heavily on my head and my heart, as it does on all of yours, but I think, and I'm not in a position to give Musar, I hate that we call this the Musar Shmuz, but just to share thoughts that are in my heart, and that maybe that will reach yours. V'Avraham Zakein Ba Bayamim Hashem Be'erach Es Avram Bakol. Our parasha describes that Avram comes back from the Akedah. He finds his beloved wife, his life partner, his better half. Not only other half, better half. She was a greater Neviah, a greater prophetess. And she has expired, she's left the world, and he's racked with guilt because the cause of her death is not heart disease or diabetes or some physiological phenomenon. The cause of her death is his action. He had the courage to take Yitzchak on the Akedah, to bring Yitzchak as an offering, and Sarah didn't hear the end of the sentence, that everything worked out okay, she died. Avram spends time negotiating with this low-life, corrupt, terrible human being, Ephron, so duplicitous, so hypocritical, so insincere, and he emerges from losing his wife, from almost slaughtering his beloved son, to losing his wife, to having to confront this low-life, corrupt, miserable, used car salesman, Ephron. And what's the next pasuk? Hashem gave Avram a bracha bakol. Avram had everything. He was old, he was on in years, and he had everything. And you can't help but wonder, he had everything? Did he have anything? He'd lost everything. He'd almost lost Yitzchak, who, according to many, did suffer in some ways. A piece of him was offered on the Akedah. Sarah, gone. Avram is off the stage of history. We don't see him at all as a transformational leader once Sarah is gone. And he's blessed with everything. Bakol, he has everything, he has nothing. The Ibn Ezra comments, what does it mean? Bakol, ba'orach yamin, va'osher, v'chavod, u'bonim, v'zu kol chemdas ha'adam. He had longevity, and he had wealth, and he had honor, and he had children. He had everything. V'zu chemdas ha'adam, that's all a person could want. That's what we crave. Longevity, continuity, comfort. He had it all. But it doesn't sit right. Because he had just lost it all. How could he be described as having it all? And if he was blessed with everything, why is the very next pasuk telling us that he's needing something, he's lacking something? God blessed Avram with everything, and Avram realizes, oh boy, there's something big I don't have. I don't have a wife for my Yitzchak. I don't have continuity. I don't have Enoch. I don't have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I'm not leaving a legacy. So what do you mean? God blessed him with everything, to which he reacts. Not, oh, I have everything, but, oh boy, there's something I'm really missing. So what's going on here? Rav Kook in Oras HaTshuva explains a phenomenon which is so critically important. We've talked about it in the past. And I think relative and in the context of the tragedies and the challenges that I mentioned earlier that weigh so heavily on us, it's a message which should resonate with so important, and it has to make us changed. Pittsburgh and the tragedy in our community and the people that we're thinking about and our own mortality and confronting our vulnerability and the uncertainty of the world, we have to walk out of this week changed. We can't just be the same. It can't be I'm sad and it's Nebuch and woe unto them, or feel bad for their family or feel bad for the Jewish people, and next week we return to more of the same. Because that's the cycle of the world. We run on the new cycle, and it's the cycle of the Jewish community. Is the week that there's loss and tragedy, we vow we'll never forget, we'll never leave them alone, we'll forever check in on them. This week it's a photo op to go to Pittsburgh, or it's a photo op to appear at the side of someone suffering. And let's fast forward in 3 months and see if anyone can find Pittsburgh on a map. And let's see if anyone takes away that feeling of vulnerability and mortality in a way that significantly changes our lives. So Rav Kook says the following. He says, in a healthy person, the relationship between the individual, our lives, our neshama, our soul, and the way we interact with the world is a perfect integration. If we care about other people, we care about the world around us, we follow the events around us, then we observe and we see not only the bad, but if we see the totality of the universe and all that's happening, then we have the capacity to be able to also see the good, to sense the good in the universe, to see not the isolated dot in the picture, but to be able to take the step back and to see the whole picture in its totality, and how that dot in that moment may look like it doesn't belong, it looks ugly, it looks painful. But if you take a step back and see it in the context of the entire picture, then you see that the picture is one painted of happiness, of goodness. If a person is self-absorbed, if a person is consumed with their own happiness, the pursuit of their own joy, their own interests, they're misaligned with creation, with everything, with people, then you don't see harmony and beauty and good. All you see is suffering and evil and things to complain about. The Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim speaks of a person who mistakenly believes that there's more evil and suffering than goodness and joy in the universe. Yes, we've suffered all the things that I mentioned this week. Yes, our community has many challenges. But it causes us sometimes to be blind to the good. B'li Ayin Hara, we have more 90-year-olds, a minion of 90-year-olds living in our community. And as a kid, I didn't know a 90-year-old. But Koshi, you knew an 80-year-old. They were considered really old. Today, 80-year-old, B'li Ayin Hara, is Maisa B'chol Yom. 90-year-old, you'll impress me when you hit 100. And that too, we've celebrated 100th birthdays. So we have babies born and simchas celebrated and Torah being learned and weddings being arranged and bar and bat mitzvahs being celebrated. We make the mistake of thinking there's more bad than good, there's more pain than joy, because we're consumed with our micro, with our little sphere, instead of taking that step back and looking at the integrated universe and feeling the harmony and the goodness. So Rav Kook explains that what does it mean Hashem blessed Avram Bakol? It meant Hashem empowered Avram with a panoramic view. You know, you go on your phone, you can take the square picture or the big picture or the panoramic picture. So when you see something that you want to zoom in on, you can take the little picture. I was in Montana this past summer, and every scene there, the little picture is not good enough. It won't do it justice. You can't take that home. You can't show it to other people. It doesn't create a memory. So you're over and over using that panoramic view with the line. You're trying to hold it and not shake and move along. And then you get this bit, oh, now I see more. Not just the little scene, but now I see the whole view. So do we live our lives that we see the little scene, or are we living our lives that we're seeing the panoramic view? The panoramic view within our own lives, not only of what's going wrong, but also what's going right, not also what's painful, but also what's joyous. And the panoramic view of the Jewish people and the panoramic view of the universe as a whole. Avram was blessed by Kol. He saw synthesis. Where others saw pain, he was able to see good. It doesn't just mean statistically the data, he saw more good than bad. Moshe Weinberger points out, he quotes this in his Sefer on Oros HaTshuva. Wonderful Sefer. That Rav Kook means it's not statistically that if you add it up, there's more good than bad. So relax about the bad. It means that a person who has a panoramic view, a person who sees synthesis, a person who lives with the presence of Hashem, that everything is not random and chance, but that there's order and there's meaning and there's purpose to the universe, then even the painful part is part of the order of the universe. Then even the hard and dark moments are part of the picture of the kol. That's not for us to say or to lecture anyone who's going through it. That's not certainly words that we offer when we're there to offer comfort and strength. But it's in our own reaction, in our own challenge to try to absorb and to think about and to reflect on what's going on, is to embrace and to imitate the gift of Avraham. That is not to see the scene zoomed in, but to experience the panoramic view, to widen the lens, that whatever challenge is being endured, to see and appreciate how much good there is. Not only statistically how much more good there is than bad, but how all is good by definition if it comes from Hashem. To live with a sense of kol, to see the whole picture, to not just focus on the small part, gives us that emunah, that faith, and that tenacity, and that courage to endure. It brings us a calm and a serenity and a deep sense of appreciation for all that we have. If you don't embrace a kol attitude, if the opposite, if all you see is the pain and the hardship and the bad, then all you do is complain and all you are is bitter and all you feel is that everything goes wrong and you're a chronic complainer and you are persistently an unhappy person. This is our midah. Avram's our forefather. He embedded this DNA in us. Bakol. That even after experiencing a terrible loss, it didn't demoralize him, and it didn't paralyze him, and it didn't become the sum total of his Jewish existence or his relationship with Hashem. He took a step back and he had a panoramic view. And he saw things in a context. And he tried to have a sense of gratitude. I think I said this morning in the Amunah Shir, and I don't, it was said publicly in the Shiva house, I don't think it was without permission to repeat. But Mrs. Grejauer, Danny Grejauer's father, when asked about his suffering, the loss of a 33-year-old daughter, unimaginable, a bright light, an incredible person, how he's able to endure, he said his parents are Holocaust survivors. He lost one child, they lost much more. And how could he be bitter when he has a family, children of whom he's so incredibly proud and they're so special? And that Hashem offered him a gift of a daughter for 33 years who's amazing. Even if it meant only 33 years, would he not have taken it? Would the 33 years not be a bracha? That's a panoramic view. That's a perspective of Bakol. Rabbi Grejauer, we work for God, He doesn't work for us. That's a panoramic view. Yishmael is described, not coincidentally, Yishmael is characterized as Yado Bakol. Yishmael's mission is Yado Bakol. He's trying to undermine, he's trying to erase, he's trying to convince us that the world is not filled with goodness and joy and happiness and perspective, that things don't make sense, they're random, they're chance, there's not a coordinator, there's not a designer, there's not somehow a good, that we should complain, not be grateful, that should we be bitter and not be happy. He's Yado Bakol. He's trying to destroy and to purge and to eliminate our capacity for that panoramic view. He's shutting off the camera. He's standing and blocking it. But we have that mesora, that transmission of that kol. Because the end of our parsha says, V'yitein Avram es kol asher lo liyitzchak. Hashem beirach es Avram bakol. God gave Avram this gift of a panoramic view, and Avram gave it to Yitzchak. V'yitein Avram es kol asher lo liyitzchak. And what did Yitzchak do with it? He gave it to Yaakov. And so on and so forth. That no matter the challenge, no matter what we're going through, we can tap into that reservoir, that well of Bakol that we all have within us. To look at heroes, extraordinary people. Family of Ephraim Goldberg, I said I just came from their Shloshim also. People who, unwavering, unshakable in their Amunah, who are seeking and succeeding and putting a perspective on their challenge, on their suffering. And as progeny and inheritors of Avram Avinu, we are the ambassadors of Bakol. We are responsible to contribute to the world and to lead the way and not shaking and not wavering and not losing perspective and not losing our faith in people or in God, despite Pittsburgh and despite illness and diagnoses, and despite hardship, and despite incomprehensible pain. That's our mission. That's our mandate. To be the ambassadors of Bakol, and that's what we say in our benching. Harachamanu yivarech osanu v'eskol asher lanu Hashem. Bless us and the kol that we have. K'moshen isbarchu avoseinu Avram etzvi Yaakov, Bakol, Mikol, Kol. Avram had kol. He gave it to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak gave his kol to Yaakov, and Yaakov gave his kol to us, and we ask you, Hashem, give that perspective to us. Yivarech osanu v'eskol. Preserve and strengthen the kol, the capacity within us. Ken yivarech osanu v'kulanu yachad b'rvach ha'shleima. We have that capacity. And so my takeaway, which is really the message I wanted to share, the message I'm trying to live, is with a perspective of Bakol, to realize when we confront our mortality and our vulnerability, when we confront how short life is and how unpredictable it is, it should cause us to have a perspective of Kol that says, stop complaining. Stop nitpicking, stop being petty, stop bearing grudges, stop being negative. Stop seeing the negative. If Avram could see, feel blessed by Kol after losing Sarah, and if after Danny Graziauer's father, after Rabbi Graziauer, after the people we know who are struggling with illness, who we turn to them for our amuna and strength instead of the opposite, if they could have kol, if they have perspective, does the rest of this narishkeit matter? Does it mean anything? Such pettiness, such stupidity, all driven by our ego, by our need for honor, by our quest for everything, including the world, to be run the way we think it has to run. So we come and we bear a grudge, or we attack, or we send a nasty email, or we don't talk to someone, or we make a mountain out of a molehill, or we make a huge ordeal out of things that feel so big in the moment, but really don't matter. How many fights we have with our spouses, how much tension with our children, how much conflict with friends or coworkers over narishkeit, over things that don't matter. Things that the people that we are dedicating this in honor or in memory of would give anything in the world for that to be their biggest problem. And in their merit and in their memory, we have the capacity of Bakol to have a perspective on things. It just doesn't matter. I don't know about you, for me this week, things that would bend me out of shape in the past, an email I got, something someone did that was aggravating, a disagreement about how to maybe plan a major event exactly together, it would have gotten me excited, would have become Lebedik, you would have had a very strong opinion, you would have insisted it has to be my way, the temperature would rise, the conversation would rise. This week, it just doesn't matter. And the question is how we can bottle that to continue next week, and the week after, and the week after, and the week after. So someone's going to be sitting in your seat this Shabbos? How about the 11 people whose seats are empty in their shul in Pittsburgh this Shabbos? These things matter. And so I'll close, because I know it's time for the second Marav, with a quick story that Rabbi Krohn has in one of his books, Echoes of the Magid, about a couple, Zalman and Rivka, that had been married for many years, and Hashem had blessed them with many, many children. And Rivka was now expecting their ninth child. And they had a wonderful marriage. Life had ups and downs, and like all marriages, it's made up of people with different perspectives and different attitudes, and that's what makes healthy marriages. Zalman was meticulous, he was punctilious, almost to perfection, a micromanager, demanding of himself, everyone around him, he needed it done in a certain way. And Rivka was the opposite. She was relaxed and calm and low maintenance and didn't care about how things went. And whenever Zalman got excited about a messy room or a dirty dish or the child didn't do, her response always was, "Ze lo chashuv." Doesn't matter. "Ze lo chashuv, this matters. The dirty dish on the counter, the shoes in the middle of the floor. Ze lo chashuv, who cares?" And they had this big give and take and give and take, two different approaches to life, and the differences is what made for their beautiful marriage. One summer, Thursday afternoon, Rivka and the children were in the Catskills up in the mountain. Zalman was back in the city at work, and she said, "I'm out of checks. Could you bring a sleeve of checks up to the mountains?" And she was so concerned and neurotic that she called him three times over the 2 days. "Don't forget when you come up, She was the one who wasn't careful. He was the meticulous one. But he took 3 phone calls from her about these checks, that she wanted the checks. Don't forget the checks. Don't forget the checks. He was conscientious, so he took the checks and he put them in a bag, an orange bag. He was bringing up to the bungalow, to the mountains for Shabbos. When he arrived, he put the bag. He hung it on the crib that was next to the bedroom. And Friday went by and the checks were still in the bag. And Zalman was a little upset. His wife had called him 3 times, don't forget the checks. He schlepped the checks, he put them aside, he did the right thing, and they are still sitting in the bag. Motzei Shabbos, the bag with the checks continued to sit next to the crib, but he didn't say anything. Because if he did, she'd say, Zalo Chashuv, what are you getting bent out of shape? You brought the checks, I'll get to it. Zalo Chashuv. He went back to the city and he was upset. She second-guessed him. She called him 3 times. He brought the check. She still hadn't done anything with it. A week went by. He went back for Shabbos. And when he got to the bungalow for Shabbos, in the bag, sitting on the crib, still were the untouched checkbook. 3 phone calls he took. And she still, a week later, hadn't touched these checks, which were so important for him to bring up. But he didn't say anything because he didn't want to create a conflict or tension with his wife. She probably would say, Zeh lo chashuv. He kept these feelings to himself. And this went on for a weekly routine. And in the back of his mind, it was gnawing at him that she still hadn't touched her texts. He went back to the city, and 2 days later, a friend of Rivka's called him to tell him that she had gone into premature labor. She was in premature labor, and there were complications to her labor. And she and the baby were both in severe distress. So Zalman ran out of his office, got in his car, of course, made a beeline up to the mountains to get to the hospital as soon as he could. But when he got there, he had found out that he was too late. His wife, in childbirth for her 9th child, had passed away. And he was crushed. Can you imagine, overcome with grief and disbelief and pain. And he didn't know what to do or where to go, and he made his way back to the bungalow where his children were. And the first thing he did when he went into his room, he sat on the bed and he saw the orange bag hanging on the crib. And the checkbook was still in it. That for a week and a half had bothered him so much. He had bottled it inside. He had bore this resentment. He had thought it was such a big deal and he was so proud he hadn't confronted her, but it bothered him at his core. And he took out that new sleeve of checks that had not been used and he wrote 2. The first for the Chevra Kadisha and the second to the funeral home. And the Shiva went by. And he went back to that empty bag now that hung on the crib, and he wrote on the outside of the bag in large letters, Zeh lo chashuv, that he would always look at it and remember. A perspective on life, Zeh lo chashuv. Okay, someone asked her to do something, they didn't even use it and follow through. Zeh lo chashuv. And it's such a lesson for us. That perspective, that vision, that panoramic view of Bakol, the ability to realize what is chashuv, what's important, and what's Zeh lo chashuv, what is utterly unimportant. And if this week doesn't give us that perspective, I don't know what will. If the challenges and pain of Klal Yisrael in this week, globally and locally, doesn't give us that perspective, and our mission and our challenge, I say it to myself and I invite you to join. This week it's easy to feel Zeh lo chashuv. Zeh lo chashuv, that's not chashuv. Who cares about this? Who cares about that? To be maver al amidos, to just let it go. Let it go. To not stand on ceremony, to not bear a grudge, to not carry an insult, to not escalate a fight, to not create a tension, to genuinely and sincerely let it go. Zeh lo chashuv. Who cares? Who cares? But how do we bottle that and carry it forward so that we can be zocha to the harachaman, that Hashem will preserve that perspective of bakol in all of us, and we merit to experience weeks which are filled only statistically and in synthesis with the greatest of simcha.